Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search. Type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, their math. A look at some things that occurred after the protest. After about 14 days of protesting racial injustice in America, what has happened? And it's a little early to come to any conclusion about what has happened, because what has happened needs to occur still. So I don't want anybody to get confused. We're just taking a look, an early look at things and see, you know, what pops up. You guys have anything you want to add to this scenario? Feel free. Press number one and share with the listening audience and myself. So outside of the temporary loss of community resources, what has happened? All four officers were arrested for the murder of George Floyd, right? The protestings and riots, some people say, were necessary to get a response. We had some police officers take a knee with the protesters, right? They showed empathy with the injustices that have been perpetrated against George Floyd. So I'm just going to go over a couple of things. Buffalo police officers quit unit to protest colleague's suspension. And I don't know if y'all saw this or not. I saw it on YouTube. This old white dude, right? I don't know why he was walking toward the guys in riot gear. I don't know what you call them, you know, tactical police unit. Right? Anyway, he's walking, and he's asking a question, and guy put his hands out and knocked the old dude down, right? This guy is like 75 years old and not a very healthy kind of like 75-year-old guy. He looks frail. And not that that would make a difference or anything like that. I'm not trying to exacerbate the situation or anything like that. But I'm just saying, he was an older gentleman. And pussy guy, then I think he fell like a tree, like bam. I guess he hit his head and had a head injury, which is to be expected. He's an old guy, you know. He didn't break his fall at all. Anyway, they said 57 members of the police tactical unit in Buffalo resigned, protesting the suspension of two colleagues who were filmed, you know, subbing this old guy down, a 75-year-old man down. So this was in northern New York City. That's weird right there, you know. But I guess, can I say it's to be expected in terms of how that police brotherhood thing goes? So the two members of the police department, emergency response team, that's in special units, right? They were suspended. And they're being investigated. But this is the one thing that's consistent that to me hasn't changed. This all happened after a local radio station released the video of this happening to this elderly gentleman. And local media, they quoted the Buffalo Police, I guess, Benevolent Association. I guess that's like the Fraternal Order of Police or something. In Buffalo, New York, Mr. John Evans is saying the officers were doing their job and their colleagues on the response team had resigned from the special unit to protest their treatment. So they're saying that, hey, these guys were doing their job. The 75-year-old man approached them. And they pushed him and knocked him down. That was their job to do that. I don't get it. Somebody help me out with that one. If you're a police officer, you listening to this, tell me why they couldn't see this is a 75-year-old man and why was there a need to shove him to the ground. I don't get it, because that could have been another murder. And who knows? I don't know what condition he's in. So it could turn into hope not. Not hoping that would happen, but maybe that could turn into something worse than just a guy just got shoved to the ground because he's 75 years old. Can these guys cannot see age or something? Anyway, a spokeswoman for the local district attorney's office, Mr. Is that Kate? I said it's a woman. Kate Monroe said the two officers are under investigation for potential criminal liability in connection with shoving this elderly gentleman to the ground. Now, again, it just seems without the videos, some of this madness will continue to happen. And that's a good example because here we go. We got not just a country, not just a state, not just a city, the whole world, right? And the world is looking at the United States, and we still have this type of thing going on. That was an opportunity for those guys to get some brownie points. But those guys took it upon themselves to knock this gentleman down. I don't know. I don't get it. How come no one reported? No one reported it or arrested the police officers. There was a bunch of police officers around. The blue wall of silence has to fall. In order for change to take place, you got to get rid of that blue wall of silence. Just like they want the community to speak out against these crimes, these unsolved crimes, these homicides and stuff like that. They know, but they're not telling them because they have a no snitching rule, or they also have a you can't protect my life rule and stuff like that. So maybe the police are coming from the same point of view. I'm scared to tell because, you know, these guys make sure that I don't come home one day we go out on one of these, you know, shootings or have a gunfight with somebody. They might put me in a position where I'm dead, you know. So maybe they're scared. I don't know what it is. That blue wall has to go because you can't trust people who violate people. Their rights, their human rights, their right to life, and don't want to be held accountable for. You cannot trust people like that. And they got guns on their side. They can say things to people that can get you incarcerated or get you beat up on the street or murdered on the street. That doesn't flow with me at all. So that's going to be a tall order to fill. So we got a long way to go. And you know, that's to be expected. I know we know, because we can't really expect these guys to change overnight. They've been doing this stuff for over, 400 years? How long have they been, you know, they just, you know, taking advantage of people, you know what I'm saying? From the U.S. Seattle police chief, I thought this was weird. Since this happened in Minneapolis, right? Minnesota. I thought it was weird that the Seattle police chief of saying it, we're not able to get to 9/11 calls for rape, robbery in the autonomous zone. So I don't know what that means. I meant to look that up. Apparently they got a zone that's there where people just take care of themselves. Because they said the head of the Seattle Police Department said that the decision to abandon the city's third precinct to activists wasn't her decision. I think it's a female, and has prevented the department from responding to emergency calls in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. That's deep right there because this, you know, that's not Minneapolis. This is Seattle. Police Chief Carmen Best joined with Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin and a news conference, right? And, you know, there was, I said, ultimately, the city had other plans for the building and relented to public pressure. And said, you should know, leaving the precinct was not my decision. That's all told. That's just the police chief told her fellow officers. You fought for days to protect it. I asked you to stand on that line day in and day out, right? You know, and they got, you know, cussed that stuff thrown at them, all that kind of riot kind of like stuff done to them, you know, and then they changed course. And he said that's probably an insult. That's like an insult to you and your and our community. So anyway, they said the calls for service have more than tripled. I said, there's no police in this, in a particular area. And The responses to a mercy call, rapes, robberies, and all sorts of violent acts have been occurring in an area that we're not able to get to. At a press conference, Durkin, all right, Durkin is the mayor. At a press conference, she said the occupants of Capitol Hill, right, they call it CHAZ, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, were engaging in an act of patriotism. Best remain non-committal on a when police might return to the area. That's crazy. Like, what's going on? But explained that the evacuation had come after reports that the precinct could be burnt down. So they blew the coup. Now, somebody help me out with this. Are those people in that Capitol Hill taxpayers, and do they pay police so to work, you know, to police that area? Seems like the tax dollars not being used in their favor. Anyway, so they were asked to do an operational plan in case they needed to leave. And I guess they did it. They did an exit plan. So anyway, Bess also clarified that her department had not received any formal reports of CHAZ occupants extorting businesses after saying in the video address that police had heard of armed people in the area demanding payment from business owners in exchange for protection. So somebody needs to get in there. So, because I'm sure that was not the objective of the protest. Michael Sloan, the head of Seattle Police Union, also slammed the decision to leave the precinct, calling it the closest I've seen our country becoming a lawless state. Well, some people will argue with that because when you have police officers murdering unarmed people, not being held accountable for it, for the most part, it's very difficult to prosecute, even bring them to prosecution, and that's a sign of a lawless state also. So that's arguable. You know, this is now you have the people being lawless. From U.S. Chicago's police union president says, officers who kneel with Black Lives Matter protests could be kicked out of the organization. So that's like the FOPI in Chicago, right? So Fraternal Order of Police, right? The police, well, that's the police union, right? You know, kick them out of the police union because you kneel with the protesters. And let me see. Police force at the Chicago protest for George Floyd. During the protest, they kneel. You know, police, and these guys were, I guess these guys were all. John Cantanzara, the new president of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police, criticized officers' decisions to kneel with protesters to sympathize with the, I don't understand that. But then he goes into changing the narrative on the whole thing of why they're kneeling. He criticized the officer's decision to kneel with protests at the Black Lives Matter demonstration in an interview, but that doesn't make sense because you know what it's about. Black Lives Matter, stop killing us. He said now is not the time or place to be kneeling with protesters, and said officers would be risking being brought up on charges and thrown out of the lodge if they did so. Could somebody tell me what is the charge for kneeling in peace, right? With protesters who are kneeling in peace, somebody tell me what is the crime in that? even if you're a police officer. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot called his comments really unfortunate. So there you go. So it's being kicked out of the Chicago. This is some provocative thought. Is being kicked out of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police like getting kicked out of the KKK lodge or for identifying with the issue by taking a knee? I mean, because it sounds like these guys are very insensitive. Peace is always better than war. I think everybody can agree. Peace is always better than war. Any police officer who remotely supports the killing of George Floyd is a threat to any community he operates in. The whole world can see the evil in what happened to Floyd. The only kind of person that would sympathize, that wouldn't sympathize with this tragedy is a person or persons who are truly blinded by their mental, spiritual, moral, and ethical degradation. Monsters are real, but they are most definitely, sometimes they speak elegantly, hold positions of so-called prestige. Sometimes they lurk in the shadows. Sometimes they prey in broad daylight. Sometimes they wear a suit, a uniform. Sometimes they don't. I wonder if Catanzara threatened to throw Chauvin and his three co-defendants out of the lodge, or if he felt that they should be thrown out of the lodge, police lodge. What about other police officers who have violated the law? I thought the police worked for the city, the people, and I know that seems to be looking more and more like a fallacy. It probably has never been true. But I thought, in theory, at least they work for the people, not the Fraternal Order of Police. Anyway, we continue on from this article. The police union said that any officer who kneels with the Black Lives Matter protesters will be kicked out of their organization. So I think that's code for you're going to have a hard time working on the police force. Because it seems like getting kicked out of their organization ain't no big deal since you work for the city of Chicago. So I wonder, do you think Chauvin should be kicked out of the Minneapolis Fraternal Order of Police? Or did he, was that a good job? Maybe he did a good job to them. I don't know. So they said John Catanzara is the new president of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police. Anyway, Catanzara, who has been on an office for just a month, he said this was about defunding and abolishing the police officers, and you're going to take a knee to that? It's ridiculous. So apparently, I don't know how you get that scenario that they're trying to abolish the police officers, but they need to abolish murderers on the police force and agitators and people who like assaulting and seeing people suffer, which is what the 8-minute and 45-second assault on Mr. Floyd added up to. Because why would you do that to somebody? And if these guys have been trying to make hold police accountable for their wrongdoing instead of trying to get them off with paid get them off paid, you know, or get them back on the force, it's like, you know, come on, man, who's gonna stop? If I have all this power behind me and I want to knock somebody in the head, I want to make somebody suffer, you can't stop me because nothing you can do to cause me any harm. You got no consequences for what I'm going to do. So, yeah, I'm going to knock some heads out when I go out on the beat. I'm going to fill up some prison cells and things like that. We're going to get to that part later on. Anyway, police have been photographed Kneeling protesters at demonstrations across the United States, across the United States. This is one of the developments. So I guess these guys need to be kicked off the force, according to this guy. So who y'all rather have on a police force? A cop that's kneeling with you during a protest, during his protest, or the ones that wants that cop kicked off the force? There have also been reports of police officers driving squad cars in the crowds, attacking people with pepper spray, batons, and shooting rubber bullets at journalists and demonstrators. I've seen we have a call already. I've seen on YouTube where they shot, where they arrested a journalist. He was trying to give this report. They were saying he was a journalist. They arrested him. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Caucus?
Kenny, how you doing, my brother? All right.
All right. All right. The answer to your question, would I like to have an officer that protests with me to take a knee, or the one that's against me that don't take a knee? To tell you the truth, I don't want neither one of them. I don't want neither one of them. Because the one that's taking the one that takes his knee, that might want to support you and stuff like that, it's an infiltrator. You know, he still is loyal to his badge.
You think he's loyal because we got a Chicago cop that's saying that those Chicago cops that took a knee, he wants them off the police force. He wants them to be prosecuted, actually.
Yeah, well, that's police for you. That's police for you. I don't feel sorry for any of them. To tell you the truth, I'm sorry. All of my interaction experiences with police officers during my lifetime have been negative.
Right. So there's time for a change, right? Or is there room for change? It sounds like there's room for change in your scenario. Hello?
I'm not one of the optimistic individuals believe that the criminal justice system. You got to remember, law enforcement is an arm of the criminal justice system. And
right.
I feel individually that there will never be change with the criminal justice system. They will continue to beat our heads in, arrest us, and give us long sentences. And that's just me. Now, hopefully in another 50 years, you know, they'll change. Maybe. I don't know. And I'm talking about black and white police officers. I'm not talking about black or white. I talk about blue. The color blue.
Blue.
You know? And there is a shirt. You know, every industry have a code. Police officers have a code of ethics, too. And their code of ethics do not, it's not really in our best interest as black people in the United States of America. Well, let me put it, as low and middle income. No, there are a couple of millionaires that had problems with police officers, and police officers just didn't know who they were because they felt they was in the wrong neighborhood because they had a mansion. So
right.
I'm just going to say, no matter what income level or what industry you belong to, whether you're a labor, a academia, or whatever, or a professional person or a corporate person, the color of your skin determines whether you get out alive with that police officer pulled you over. But I'd rather be stopped by a black officer than a white officer. I know I have a greater chance of getting out of there alive.
Okay, well, as far as I'm not a person that's been in a lot of riots, but the riots I have seen, I've never seen police taking a knee with the protesters.
That's that kumbaya shit. That's that kumbaya. I'm not falling for it because when everything dies down, when everything's over, everybody go home, and stuff like that. Police is going to be back. Let me tell you something. Police was, you know why SWAT was organized, was started? Well, no, SWAT, you want to know why SWAT was started?
I'm sure you're going to tell me the story about the Black Panther Party, right?
Yeah. That's the reason why they were started.
Well, tell the story. Don't talk like you're talking to me. Tell the story.
In LA, in the state of California, the Black Panther Party was just kicking butt. I mean, they was kicking butt. They had America on their knees, and they was working with other cultures. And J. Edgar Hoover, the COINTELPRO, you know, sent to the city saying, yo, man, you got to stop this organization. So the state of California, the city of L.A., you know, created a task force called SWAT. And SWAT's sole mission back then was to get rid of the Black Panther Party.
Black Panther Party for self-defense, y'all. Just in case you're not aware of it, they were formed because of the viciousness and the assault to the Black community from the Los Angeles and the Oakland Police Department.
Police Department. Hey, you want to know something? Look at the words you're saying, Carlton. You know, those words can be applied to today's action of the police.
Right, I'm agreeing. It's the same. We're watching the same movie. All I'm saying is that in this film, I noticed a little difference. The kneeling, the talking. Some people being able instead of, because it was no talking in the 60s and the 70s. It was straight up dogs, water hoses, bats, and bullets.
Because you want to know something, I'm going to tell you something, Carlton. The United States, the world, has turned into the trend. What is trending? You know, what is the trend right now? So the trend is trending to take the knee. Now, just 4 years ago, take a knee. Remember that slogan we just said, take a knee. Just 4 years ago, an individual in the NFL took a knee quietly. He did not inform anyone. He didn't want anyone. Somebody asked him. He was taking a knee for 3 weeks. And then on Monday Night Football, after the game, you know, every quarterback got to go up and address the press and everything because that's part of the job. And a sportscaster asked him, a sports writer, a sports beat writer said, excuse me, Captain, we saw you taking a knee. What, you injured or something? You don't eat it. They didn't have a clue. And Colin Kaepernick said, I am taking a knee during the national anthem to protest police brutality and injustice to Black people in the United States. Everybody just went off. No, not at first. You had a lot of people on the side. You had white ball players, had black ball players, even some coaches and owners take their knee. The White House, the capital of the United States of America, sent a memo to every NFL owner. Anybody that takes a knee, they should have that player benched or suspended. It wasn't trendy yet. You know, it wasn't the fashion. And that man lost his livelihood and his ability to put food on his table. I mean, he's a rich man here because, you know, he was big until he, you know, they blackball him. He was making like $10-15 million a year. So it's not like, well, I mean, like, you know, and it was only in his late 20s. He didn't reach his prime yet. And he's already been to the Super Bowl, been all pro. They try to say, oh, he lost skills. And then, how can you lose skills like that? So now, 4 years later, you got corporations wanting to make a commercial. Oh, we support Black Lives Matter. Oh, we believe in justice and equality for everyone. No, you don't. It's trendy right now. Because if you say something that is against that, everybody will look at you like you got three heads. All right? Because we now became a nation of trends. It's trendy. But yet still, there's a man in this country that took a knee. As a matter of fact, taking a knee wasn't even his idea. It was the trainer idea. But at first, Colin Kaepernick was sitting on the bench. So the trainer came over and said, hey, look, man, you know, why you sitting on the bench? Why the anchor being played? You better get stand up. He said, I am sitting down because I do not like police brutality and the inequality to my people. So the trainer said, look, man, it would be better for you to take a knee because it's more respectful. And nobody didn't know what he was doing. Close to a month, nobody didn't know until he came on Monday Night Football, until he would ask the question, until it now was discussed for 2 years. I mean, it was not 1 week. When they can discuss Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. So now everybody will take a knee because it's a trend. It's fashionable now.
So there's no empathy, you're saying, with the police departments, with some police officers?
No, whatsoever. You know what? But I could be biased. You know, I could be biased. And because, like I said, I never had a positive interaction. Once in Philadelphia, one, a young black police officer. You know, that's the only one. In all of my years on this planet Earth, living in the United States of America, I never had a positive interaction with a police officer.
Okay. Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, and you know, I have some negative interactions with police officers and guys, you know, when I was living a different kind of life, though. But even when I wasn't, but I had positive also. I had a police officer that took a personal interest in me when I was a kid, so and he like trained me and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
He just wanted to get ready. He hoped that you was good enough to be a boxer. He could make money off you. That was about the future, brother.
It wasn't that.
Do you talk to him now? Do you talk to him any time in your adulthood?
Oh, I did. I had, but I lost contact with him. But I did. Yeah.
Okay. I take that back. What was he, black or white?
Yeah. He's black.
He was black? Okay.
Yeah, and his other police officers, like the old brothers.
I rest my case.
I understand what you're saying, though, because you are a summation of your experiences, so I understand what you're saying. Don't get me wrong now, because I'm not saying that I understand. I've seen some police officers that were complete buttholes. You understand what I'm saying? I've been on that ride where that ride where you get bounced around and stuff like that. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen that, but I didn't get bounced around because I knew what to do. But I've seen a dude get messed up pretty bad in the paddy wagon. A grown man was in it. Actually, it was juveniles. He was in the paddy wagon with a grown man. That's wrong right there. But the man came out banged up like somebody stomped a mud hole in him. You understand what I'm saying? He came out beat up like horses ran over him. Talking about he's going to sue the police and all that stuff. You know, we got another caller. Hold on, Kenny. We got another caller.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yes, salam alaikum, Kobe.
Wa alaikum as
salam. Can you hear me?
Wa alaikum as salam.
Hey, Kenny, how's it going, brother?
All right.
I'm in agreement with with Kenny on this one. My take on it is, we know the history of the police stemming from slavery and why they were organized. So for about, 250-some years, we had criminals, crooks, cutthroats, and an organized system. Now we have people that's walking in for jobs. Maybe some of those people coming in want to make change or whatever. But they coming into the lion's den, the viper's den. They can't make a change. They got to follow what's going on. So my thoughts is, they're talking about defunding. I'm with that. But I say we need to defund from the top. So if you're a police commissioner and you coming in, you know the house that you're walking into. You know you got some people inside there, and you got a group of people who are unruly. You know what your house is like. So if they want to get cuts, I say start at the top. So police commissioners, mayors, governors, when this type of thing go down, they take a hurting too. They don't get to just sit around and say, well, you know what, we're going to pass judgment and we're going to do this. No. It's starting from the top. When I was a manager for restaurants or any place, I'm the manager. This is my crew. I'm the overseer. Anything that they doing, I'm supposed to oversee that. I'm setting the pace. So the police already have a history of corruption. We need to clean house. They need to get rid of them. Get rid of the corrupt ones. Get a group of new ones inside there. Anybody from the top that allowed certain things and knew that this was going on. There should never be any cops that's afraid to talk or speak. But that's what it's like. It's like, okay, I'm a cop, but if I speak up, I don't know, the next time we go out, I might get shot by some friendly fire because, you know, these guys don't want me to expose them and they want to continue their corruption. So I feel as though, hey, head's got a role. And since it's been so many years and heads haven't rolled, then some destructive things are going to have to happen in order for them to wake up. Maybe things got to be destroyed before they wake up. And maybe they won't. I don't think they're going to wake up. I don't.
I think so. You don't think the guys that's kneeling? You don't think the guys that's kneeling might have had a revelation or just might eat before they were police officers, identified with that, just took the job as a police officer? You don't think they had any kind of empathy for George Floyd's situation?
I don't think they had. I can't say what they had, but I can say this much. If they can do that, they can open up their mouths about the corruption. And that's what they're not doing. They know it's there. They know who it is. They work with these people. But see, they don't want to expose their code because they're afraid to use their provisions of being able to take care of their family, or they're afraid because they don't know what they're going to run into after they leave that. Because we got these thugs out here who are able to do that. We see it in the movies. They show us exactly what they do in the movies. You know, the funny thing about it is that they show what police do, like in Training Day. Yeah, they gave Denzel Washington, you know, the Oscar for that, but he was actually portraying, hey, this is what's really going on. So these guys are afraid, and taking a knee doesn't do anything. Yeah, yeah, he's soft. He took a knee and a whole bunch of stuff, but guess what they're not doing? They ain't speaking up. They ain't pointing out fingers. They ain't saying, hey, this is what's going on. Now, they had an organization of officers from various places come out and speak, and they fired them. And they got a class action lawsuit against some of the precincts. So I feel as though, just like with Congress, politics, we need to clean house. House need to be clean. I'm not saying we don't need police, but we need to know what type of police, what type of people going inside there, just like they do with us out here. You know, they want our children, they want to put our children on different drugs and everything, saying, hey, they got behavior problems. I'm saying the same thing with these cops. They got behavior problems, and they should have a report card, okay? You got two Ds, you out. You know, you got two offenses, you done. We got cops that got 17 offenses mistreating people, and now they done killed people, and now people saying, yeah, well, you know, in the past, he did this, he did that. Why was he given that privilege and allowed? to exist. I can't even do that on my job.
Right.
You can't do that in a fast food restaurant. Oh, you know what? I only sit and eat food once. Here we got people that can do all these different things, still have their jobs, and then you have superiors who know what they're doing and people that's protecting them. So you know what? You want to protect them, you take the fall with them. We don't need you. You got to go.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, it was a police officer that did take the knee, and I guess he might have felt some pressure because apparently – he apologized for taking a knee. So that thing that you're talking about, that blue wall, must have fell on him. You know what I'm saying? Because he was taking a knee, felt like a hero, taking a knee. And then something happened. He apologized for taking a knee with the protesters and fellow police department members. He wasn't the only one, but, you know, this is in New York. So, you know, but I'm like, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel is better than no light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know what the end of the tunnel, what's at the end of the tunnel, but a light there is a good thing, you know. So, apparently these guys can
be
persuaded.
It could be a good thing as long as the light you're seeing is not another train coming your way.
Damn. Oh. That or a flash from a muzzle from a pistol, huh?
Absolutely.
Wow. See, this is some of the trauma that the black community experience, you know, and some of it creates this distrust of police. And we got a long way to go, and it's too early. I mean, just a quick look. This is not the aftermath of the whole situation. It's just a look at the because we got a little air right now. You know, it's not the rioting has stopped, you know, things like that. And we got a little bit of air until these guys get convicted or not, or the next thing happens. But right now we got a little bit of breathing room. Not to be not to use it as a pun or anything like that. But right now we just, you know.
I don't think these guys gonna do any time. They might be found guilty, but I don't think they're gonna do any time.
Well, they upped the charge for Chauvin, the guy was did the knee thing. I think the original sentences was one for 25 and one was 10, up to 10 years. One was up to 25, the other one was up to 10. So up to 25, I mean, they could give him 10 to 25 or 15 to 25 or 5 to 10 on the other one. So, you know, they could run concurrent or he might have to do them separately. But I doubt if he does it separately because police always get that break. If it's a break you could give somebody, it seems like the police officers always get it, right? That's another problem, right?
Right. That's why I say I don't think they're going to do any time.
Well, I would be surprised if all of them did time anyway. Definitely. Chauvin, I would be like, I'll have to look and see, wait and see what happens with that scenario. Because, you know, right now, you know, people have murdered people. And what's the guy's name that shot the guy, shot Scott in the back? In North Carolina. What's that guy's name? He had a hung jury. Remember, he shot him. He was running away. He had something about some domestic stuff. Not child support. Not paying child support. He stopped him. Dude took off and started Walter Scott. He shot him in the back like 7 times. He's running away. He wasn't even a violent criminal. Just a guy that didn't pay child support.
Child support.
I think.
Wow, you getting killed. Imagine, hold on, imagine this, man. Getting killed over child support, getting killed while jogging, or having a bad check. You getting killed. It's not like you're going to rob a bank, or you run away from a murder scene or whatever.
Right.
These are non-violent misdemeanors. Like,
right.
each of these guys will get probation. But yet, child support, yeah, we can't go to jail for child support in the rears and everything. But getting killed over it, I really, do you know any white guys that got killed over child support or having a bad check?
No, but unarmed white people are murdered by police officers also, but that's not what we're talking about tonight, right? Right, we're talking about this because it's a disproportionate amount of black people being murdered.
Yeah.
Right?
Every time somebody get killed, you know, it's a brother or a sister. Every time somebody get killed, an unarmed person, it's a brother or a sister.
Well, I saw a white guy get shot. He had a hoodie on, his hands in his pocket, cop was following him. Turned out the guy had headphones on, didn't hear the cop, and did some kind of move, and the cop killed him. It was a white guy.
The cop killed the guy, begging him while he's on the ground in a hotel with his hands up, laying down, saying, "Don't kill me, I don't want to die," and he shot him.
Oh, I saw that.
But here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I got to say. The penalty is not severe enough for the crimes that they're committing. First off, if you're being trained as an officer and you know that you carry a weapon of deadly force, it should be you can't take a life unless it's absolutely necessary, showing a threat to you, not some imaginary threat.
That's right. True. True that.
It should be, if you take a life, we're going to take your life. Other countries got that policy. That's why their crime rate is so low. They don't have the biggest problems with the police because they know, you know what, if I shoot this guy and I'm wrong, I'm going to die. Same thing as if I walk in this person's house and I rob them. Saudi Arabia, hey, they're going to put you to stay. Hey, they're going to chop your limbs off or you're going to die. But here, we have a criminal system that has professional lawyers, attorneys. We have unions protecting these people. And these are the same people who set up government. These are the same crooks who stole people from other countries and land and have been mistreating us. So I don't have no trust in it. I don't trust their laws. Their laws are made for the criminals, for them. They need to be met with the same force. You kill someone, you die. You did it. There is no jury. There is nothing. That man had his knee on that man's neck for 8 minutes. Clearly in his mind, he had a psychological test to become a cop. So he knows what 8 minutes mean of nine having ears. So you need to die. There is no, what we're going to look into. There's nothing to look into. He used obsessive force. He got to go. And the cop that stood there with him was an accessory to the crime.
And the cop that was on his leg was accessory. They were accessory to on his leg. They were still on his leg, on the bottom part of his body.
Why are we protecting them? They're still being protected. They're still being protected.
No, we aren't protecting them, and they all have been arrested.
That doesn't mean anything.
Took
some time.
They didn't get arrested like you and I would get arrested, but they
should be dead. That's what I'm saying. No taxpayers' money, no show, no CNN, no Fox News, none of this dragging on for days and days and days. Oh, you know what? Justice was done. This is what they did. Boom, say goodbye to your family and your friends, the gas chamber, whatever, you gone. That's it.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. So much for cops taking a knee and trusting police officers for the two gentlemen.
I'm gonna tell you something, Colin. And this might sound mean, and I might get a lot of backlash from saying this.
It's okay.
To be honest with you, I don't want a cop. If I was protesting, if I was out there, I wouldn't want a cop to take a knee next to me, man. I don't trust him. Historically, you've been beating our heads in. You know, a person asked this question on Facebook. How many of you brothers had your first, how old was you when you had your first interaction with a police officer? Every one of us, a lot of people answered, a lot of brothers answered that, were teenagers. Teenagers between the age of 13, high schoolers, junior high schoolers.
All right.
First negative interaction, adolescent stage. You know, so I don't want a cop taking a knee next to me because historically you have been a burden in our community. You have not protected our community. All you did was just beat heads, arrest. So, nah. The history between police officers and the black community in the United States is negative.
Okay, so I guess
negative
you also put defunding police. Is that right?
And I'm down for defunding police?
Defunding the police department.
Where would those resources go?
The areas like education, public health, housing, youth services, things like that.
Then my second question, what communities will these resources go to?
Communities that need those resources.
Are the politicians, the people that are allocating these resources, are they honest enough about allocating these resources?
Wow, you asked
you know,
me
that's a crooked
politician.
Here
like we go again.
Police.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You jumped on the same horse, man. That's the same pony, man. I don't know. I don't know how honest, and I don't know how.
I can answer that for you. I can answer
okay.
that for you. I have seen there are, just like there are negative police officers, there are negative politicians. And let me tell you something. Black politicians are just as worse as the white politicians. I've seen black politicians with my own eyes. I have seen black politicians sell their communities out.
Politicians who are black, you mean, right?
Black politicians.
He's a politician first. He sounds like a politician first, but he's black.
No, he's green. He wants that money. He wants that kickback.
He's green, okay. All right, there you go.
He's green. I don't even think black is in his conscious mind. I don't even think black is in his soul. Because if blackness or being an African descendant was in his soul and his conscience, he wouldn't sell his community out.
Okay, well, I don't know. I can't speak for the politicians, but this is just one of the things that they're talking about doing, defunding police department.
And like I said, where
taking that money and helping the community.
Where would the resources go? That's number one. Number two, the people that the committees that are responsible for because let me tell you something. You know, watch those cold words. You know, you want resources to go to the black community. If they say resources go to the minorities community, guess what? That's everybody.
I got you.
That's Asians. That's very little help. That's Latinos. That's white women. You know, like everybody since the civil rights of 1964, everybody's a minority now. And everybody got paid. And the same thing can happen to them. Watch the language. If I was advising anyone that's Black Lives Matter, or Black Lives Matter is going to be in the driver's seat on this one, okay? And if I was advising anybody, Black Lives Matter, watch the language. You don't want You don't want the term minority. You don't want the term minority neighborhoods, because now it's open to anybody. You want to be very specific. Black, low to middle income neighborhoods.
Okay.
And also, Black Lives Matter has a momentum now. You know, they should be asking the question when they're registering people to vote: do we need a black agenda? A lot of the youth asking when you sent your notice out, you know, where do we go from here? What is the plan? The plan is we should develop a national a black agenda for the local municipalities, black agenda for the state house, and a national black agenda for the White House. Now, they might be burnt up in the White House. They might fall up thrown in the trash can, but especially local and state levels.
Something that said the Black Lives from the Black Lives Matter defines their invest divest platform in terms of, they said, we demand investment in the education, health, and safety of black people instead of investments in the criminalizing, caging, and harming of black people. We want investments in black communities determined by black communities and divested from exploitative forces, including prisons, fossil fuels, police, surveillance, and exploitative corporations. How's that?
That's very specific. That's very specific.
Right.
And we tell them this is for us. This is for our communities that have been neglected for the last, since the 80s. You know,
right.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's the correct language. Don't use that word minority. Don't use that word all race and everything. You know, be specific. Black folks.
Right.
Black
okay,
people.
Well, they've been specific.
The housing, the criminal justice system, they're very specific. That's a very good goal there. Very good plan. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah. Learn from our mistakes, huh?
No, I said no. There was the NCO question, so I was able to give it to you. In terms of hopefully that something like that, I'll be able to actually take place.
Hey, you know what would be my second advice to them?
What's that?
You know what would be my second advice to them? Tell white folks to stay home. Tell white folks to stay home. You can support us, but you can't join us. And the reason why I say that, historically, every time white folks get involved in our movements, two things happen: infiltration, and number two, it stops. It doesn't go anywhere. You know, the momentum stops and everything.
That's interesting you say that. That's
tell
very interesting
folks,
you said
to
talk about
you.
Infiltration.
Yeah,
you mentioned
thank
that.
You
we just had a conversation
support.
About that.
Yeah. Thank you for walking alongside of me, but you can't sit at the table with me when I'm negotiating with these people. You know, stay home. Take care of your own communities. Go take care of your babies. Go feed them.
Okay, in terms of infiltration.
Know what I'm
saying? Let me take you back to infiltration. Infiltration is best accomplished by people who look like you, not by white folks. By people who look like you. Those are the infiltrators you're going to have to be concerned about in any organization.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. You understand? The one that looks like you is the one that's going to be very hard to detect, and he's going to have a better chance of being successful in his own infiltration.
And you want to know why I said white people stay home? Because if you look at all our movements, it's a hijack. The most recent one, the hashtag MeToo movement, was started by a sister. I forget her name. But it was supposed to be for young black women. And it's the white women that took over the hashtag MeToo. It was the white women that took over the civil rights movement. Because they are a minority now. You know, so we got to be careful who we allow to sit at the table with us. I mean, like you said, it's a damn shame that we got to look at our own kind with one eye, you know, because historically, look at Fred Hampton. It wasn't no white boy that gave the floor plans to the police and the FBI. It was a, that thing was his lieutenant. It was his second.
Man.
And
he could have been FBI. He could have been FBI. FBI agent had infiltrated the Black Panthers and all those black organizations. So that's what I'm talking about. That's why I actually said it. So, you know, it's, you know, and I'm not trying to be a skeptical or anything like that. But you got to be mindful. Don't think just you don't have white folks there that there's no infiltrators.
That's right. Look at the Nation of Islam. Look at the Nation of Islam. Look at what's that other organization? Oh, man, I see it. Oh, man, it just skipped my mind right now. But all our organizations are infiltrated by black folks, man. It's a shame. And it's a shame. It's a shame because a lot of these movements were not violent movements, were nonviolent movements. You know, the Martin Luther King was being followed every day. Malcolm X was being taped every day, 24/7. You know, and it's a shame that America, the land of the home of the free, has this type of attitude towards a percentage of their citizens. You know, America has this negative image, and they're always trying to have negative images of the black man in mass media. I don't even want to go there, okay? Which is all part of the, what I call it, the psychological warfare that is placed upon us. It's not just physicalness. It's a lot of emotional and mental warfare placed. Oh, they put people on screens for our young people to look up to. They don't have no business looking up to. I don't want my daughter looking up to no Cardi B. So it's okay to be a stripper. No, it's not. You know, that's just an example.
I got you.
Yeah.
So okay, so what do you think about this? Let me get your hit. Hit on this report that finds 2/3 of private prison contracts include lock-up quotas. You know what lock-up quotas are?
Lock-up quotas.
That's an agreement. Yeah, lock-up quotas. That means, hey, you know how group homes are, right?
You got a certain amount of people
right?
locked up by a certain amount of time. You got a certain amount of people.
No, that means that a certain
time.
Percent of these beds have to be kept filled by
contract. Yeah. Yeah.
And if that contract is not fulfilled, then you have to pay me for those empty beds. So if I got a 100% contract with you and I only got 90%, you got to pay me for 10.
Well, let's break their bank. Let's break their bank. But you know what? If we all stop committing crime tomorrow, they'll find another way to arrest the black man and to fill those beds up.
There are plenty innocent guys in jail right now, bro.
Yes.
There's people in jail right now. They didn't commit the crime that they're in here for.
Hey, you know what? I just read an article the other day. There are still prisoners of war, POWs, in a penitentiary from the 60s and the 70s. And it's going to be a new prisoners of war from these, if this movement continues and keep rolling and growing, it's going to be new prisoners of war, new POWs. Well, because it was like in Atlanta, in the 3 weeks, there was close to 300, there was arrested like 100 folks every weekend.
Were they arrested, looters or people protesting? Which were they?
They were protesting. They'll arrest like 100 people every weekend, man. Every weekend. So, like, there you look.
And where did they put them at?
POW, huh?
Where did they put these people? Because last I looked at, well, I know up this way, these prisons are pretty filled up with people.
Oh, they go down and they spend the night in the bullpen and give them a ticket in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're not going to stay any long term or anything,
right.
Not no 9 months or a year. They just got to show up to court on a certain date and probably pay a fine or they'll be expunged. But they're being arrested. But you know, police officers is going to say, hey, doing something illegal. You know, they were being a threat. And another thing we got to watch out for is a new term. You know, this term was in the 60s or 70s. Terrorists. You know, a lot of cats want to do arms and whatnot. You don't want to. I got to get ready to go because I got to charge up my phone. About to run out of juice. I just want to say.
Okay.
You don't want to be labeled a terrorist. So if you're packing at these protests, you could be labeled a terrorist, man. So we got to be careful of that.
Right. We'll shut you down.
It's all part of war.
Right.
Yeah. I gotta go, Carl. I gotta charge my phone, man.
All right, Ken. Thank you for calling in, my brother.
All right, brother. Have a good show, man.
All right. Peace out.
All right.
Okay, so here we have this thing called prison quotas, right? Basically, public officials. Again, some more guys that's supposed to work for your tax dollars. For some strange reason, agree to lock up quotas, which is poor business management. According to the corrections experts, they become obligated against their community's best interest. Because if you're going to agree to prison lockup quotas, just where are these inmates supposed to be coming from? Which is a big question. To keep the prisons filled, to ensure that the taxpayers' dollars aren't being wasted. Well, in my opinion, taxpayer dollars are being wasted when you have incompetent public officials who agree to lock up quotas, placing taxpayers in a position to pay for empty beds in a prison. Something's wrong with that picture. Now, anybody listening, would you hire or fire a guy like that? Two, I mean, that's just poor business practice. Also, coming from, how would you maintain a 80%, 100% bed off beds in a prison facility? And the only way you're going to do that is to interact with the community in a way in which it facilitates conditions for people to be incarcerated. And that might include people being incarcerated for things that they haven't done. Being in the right place at the wrong time, the wrong place at the wrong time, however you want to look at it. They can lock you up until they figure out what to do with you, kick you out. By that time, they didn't make that money just on that your incarceration. So, anyway, for example, as I said, a Utah-based management and training corporation, which is runs a state prison complex in Kingman, Arizona, and the Arizona Department of Corrections, right? So the Arizona Department of Corrections found gross mismanagement at the Kingman prison complex, including malfunctioning alarms and other serious security breaches after these guys had escaped from there, right? And they escaped and they murdered somebody, right? And they found all these, you know, this prison was subpar. And so they stopped sending prisoners to the facility for a year. And then the prison sued them for the beds that they didn't fill. So that's the kind of stuff that's weird. That has to stop. You know what I'm saying? We don't need privatized prison for business. Are we serious? You know, That's, you know, if you want to have your own privatized prison, what you do, if you have 50% capacity of 100% 100 beds, that's all you have. We don't owe you nothing. We pay you for the people that we send to your prison, and you better be up to par. That's the way that should go. Why hasn't somebody jumped on this situation? You know, I heard it. I think I heard something about them doing something. But this should never have been done. Never should have been agreed upon, because it encourages police interaction, arrest rates, and convictions, and on incarcerations of people. And we know who gets a lot of those things, a lot of interaction with police, a lot of arrest, you know what I'm saying, a lot of court dates, long prison sentences, and things like that. Bad folks. Thing that needs to stop. First, the only way you can support such a ridiculous mandate is to make sure that folks go to jail, and the longer the better, right? Bed is full. The longer somebody stays there, the longer that bed stays full. That starts with more contact with police trying to meet arrest quotas. More arrests or incidents that can be agitated, instigated, or falsified to lead to an arrest. More convictions of guilty or not, and longer prison sentences. Again, that's evil genius at work, or just the power of wealth at work. There's really no difference here at all. What stupid, evil, political official would go for, "We will keep your prison beds filled, and if we don't, pay you for the empty beds"? That sounds like a guy who didn't even graduate elementary school. Maybe it's in their plan. Maybe it's in their plan. They know certain people will continue, and others will be affected by the lack of resources to survive, improve their quality of life, and the condition will facilitate drug use, drug sale, crime. That is the opposite of prison reform. In order to build population, you have to facilitate the conditions that nurture crime and injustice. Do they see it coming down the line or something? I don't understand that. Unless you know, that's just like you're trying to get ready for a virus next year. Like, how you know something's gonna happen with a virus next year? That's very suspicious. Anyway, before I go off, I want to hit this. I want to talk about this young lady, Candace Owens. She's a young lady. I think she's a Republican, which doesn't make any difference, Republican, Democrat, to me, anyway. She's I guess she represents the far right, maybe the darker far right. I don't know. She's quoted as saying she doesn't support George Floyd for whatever reason. It has become fashionable over the last 5 or 6 years for us to turn criminals into heroes overnight, and it's something that I find despicable, which I thought was very interesting that this young lady was saying, was alluding that George Floyd, a man who was murdered in broad daylight by the police department, cuffed with his hands behind his back. She finds him a despicable being. She's a 31-year-old black conservative commenter. So what's happened? She posted something, video, criticizing the black community for making a martyr out of Floyd while pointing out his various arrests over the years. She's made a fan out of President Donald Trump, and that's the guy who says grab him by the pussy, right? And founded the Blitzit movement to encourage black Americans to ditch their historic ties with the Democratic Party. First, George Floyd needed support when Chauvin had his foot on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. That was the last time anyone could have supported Floyd. So actually, the Minneapolis Police Department made Floyd a martyr, a person who suffers or is killed to the cause of social injustice. So that's definitely all social injustice. Second, Floyd did not ask to be a hero. He begged to live. Look at the video. Floyd is most definitely a victim. I never heard anyone refer to Floyd as a hero. A hero can be a person with a criminal record. Dictionary.com states a hero is a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. Courageous acts or nobility of character. So people with criminal history should know if Candace Owens is being drugged in an alleyway before you act, before you act on that situation, risking your life and freedom to save her, know that she thinks that you are despicable and unworthy of being a hero. What a condescending attitude, and exactly one of the things that contribute to the assaults, murders, and injustices in this country. Third, I didn't know there was a disqualification on the application for being a martyr or hero. Floyd's criminal history has nothing to do with the value of his life, or at least it shouldn't. It appears this moment in time had little effect on Owens. She's talking about how he's not a hero or how he shouldn't be up front in the struggle. That's really crazy. Floyd wasn't the first, and he will not be the last to die unjustly by the hand or knee of so-called law enforcement. He was definitely the last straw in a continuum of events. Malcolm X had a criminal history, and by Owens' thinking, he shouldn't be celebrated either. Some people feel the life of a black man isn't as valuable as a white man's life. After all, blacks were the slaves of this country. They were perceived as less than human, ignorant, property, something they could do whatever they wanted to do with, rape, torture, murder, work, etc. It was once legal to oppress and suppress black people. Apparently, some people still feel that way about it. Plantation. She alluded to black people being on a Democratic Party's plantation by sticking with the voting Democrat or something like that. So, plantation, this whole country is a plantation built on slavery and the plantation blueprint. Democrat and Republican, both variations of the same theme, both became wealthy off the backs of the enslaved. There have always been some slaves, in spite of their reality, remain close to their masters. Funny how Owens put the victim on trial and convicted him of crimes he already served the penalty for. She is such a sensitive, perceptive person. Based on being a criminal, can we assume Owen finds Chauvin's actions despicable, or was Chauvin simply doing his job, taking out the trash? This mentality that allows people to devalue the life of others is a threat to the world community. Check out Adolf Hitler or your early American leaders and lawmakers. What about the forefathers of this country who raped, tortured, pillaged, and murdered their way from coast to coast? Owens must be throwing up on a regular basis thinking about those heroic, historic figures. How about we get Miss Owens some tap dancing shoes? anyway, there were some things that were happening with police reform. In New York, they're changing how citizen complaints are handled and communities defining how police should be demilitarized, right? They signed a legislation to ban police use of chokeholds and repeal a decades-old law that sealed records of alleged officer misconduct from police. If they work for the people, their records should never be sealed. That should have never happened. Washington State Patrol Chief John Bast said on Friday, officers would not use tear gas until further notice, particularly while we're in this pandemic. U.S. District Judge Richard Jones ordered Seattle police on Friday to stop using tear gas, flashbang devices, and pepper spray on peaceful protesters for 2 weeks. Why would they be using tear gas on peaceful protesters at all? Doesn't make sense. So there's a couple of things going down the pike. New York, cutting the New York budget by $1 billion next year for the department. In Texas, limit police use of force and reduce the police department's budget next year. That's defunding, y'all. Just 'cause I don't know if it's going to happen, but they said they're going to do it. San Francisco, Mayor London Breed directed the city's police department to create banning the use of tear gas, tanks, and bayonets against unarmed civilians. You got to tell them not to do that? That's amazing. Anyway, it's time to go, y'all. Could go on. But I want to thank all the callers, the listeners, anybody that downloads the show. Until next week, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. I want to thank Brother Zach King and Kenneth Joe for calling in.
You will not be able to stay home,
thank you,
brother.
You guys that called in and listened in. Until next week,
you will
again.
Not be able to plug in, turn hey. On, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.